can cost up to $13,000. Keith Peters reporting.
The 46th running of Alaska's famed Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race will kick off tomorrow amid the most turbulent year ever for the annual long-distance trek. Among the multiple problems, a champion's dog doping scandal, the loss of major sponsor Wells Fargo, discontent among mushers, as well as escalating pressure from animal rights activists. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. That's right, we traded up Thursday and Friday. It's
Friday.
Not Thursdays. It's Trish is here today on a Friday, the 2nd of March.
Wow.
This is the 2nd of March. Yeah, the 2nd of March. It's 7, and see, it's 5.5 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. And the news is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Same great walk-in humidor. Same great service there. Yeah, open 7 days a week. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
And it's 32 degrees 30, in downtown Reading.
And Jared, King Jared, almost. Prince Jared. Yeah, King. Prince Jared almost didn't make it in today, and he's going to tell us why as soon as you're finished with the news.
Okay, well, we're looking for a high of 47 today, a low of 35, a 20% or 50% chance of rain, little or
precipitation.
No precipitation. I hate that word. A little or no snow accumulation expected. Chance of shower and rain and snow showers after 10 a.m. on Friday, with a high near 47 and a low.
Wait a minute. Did you just say there's a chance after 10 o'clock we're going to have?
On Friday. That's today.
That's today.
That is today.
What are you reading from yesterday?
I think it is.
You're reading yesterday?
I guess so. But today's Friday, so we're looking at a chance of rain and snow showers after 10 a.m.
After 10 a.m. today. Snow showers here?
Yeah. Well,
in Reading or just
says.
In surrounding areas? Wow.
Yeah, that's what it says.
It's going to be raining.
Some rain showers. Yeah, but then it'll follow by rain.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Little or no snow accumulation.
Okay.
Friday night, we're looking for a low of just 35. Not freezing.
Yeah, but I'm heading up to Shingletown real early Sunday or Saturday morning, so I can imagine.
They have had some snow up there.
Yeah, passing some of us up there.
Yeah,
going out and scouting out turkey places for our youth hunt.
Oh, on Saturday, we're looking for a 50% chance of showers as well. On Sunday, a 20% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 52. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 59. And Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 62. So the Wednesday, a slight chance of rain. I'm awfully glad to see that we got all that good moisture, though. We got over an inch and a half down in Anderson, so that's good. Weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, Jared. Jared was... he comes in this morning. Jared looked disheveled. I don't mean like, you know, I shouldn't say disheveled. He looks a little ruffled. And what's going on? What happened this morning, buddy?
Well, the precipitation last night covered my car in, you know, moisture, and then it proceeded to freeze. And I couldn't get my car open.
He couldn't get into his car.
I tried as hard as I might, and I was afraid I was going to break the door handle before the door actually gave way.
Oh, my.
You know, you can. I remember this from days when I used to live in that type of weather. I would just, we had a, like a, one of those plastic water containers, you know, like a gallon of water you pour in a pitcher. And I, not hot water, I would just pour regular water in it from the house. And I'd go out and I'd start, you know, I'd pour it on the car so I could get, you know, on the door in that area so I could get into it. And then I'd start the car and then pour it on the windshield. And it wasn't hot water, so it wouldn't break the windshield, but it would help get the ice off like that. I mean,
too little, too late, Carl.
Yeah, well, I know, but just, you know what? Just remembering that made me feel cold.
When I had to park my car outside, and I lived in Idaho, and we would put a cover over the windshield.
That's what you need to do.
A sheet or whatever, and lock it in the door, and you just did that every night before you went to bed, because otherwise, I mean, it was an hour job to get the car ready to drive.
There are areas in the United States that you have to put like a light in your engine to keep it, you know, a light running all night so it keeps it warm enough so you can start it the next day.
Yeah.
But speaking of warm and starting up early, we got Amy from Haven Humane here.
Good morning.
Cinnamon.
We have Cinnamon.
Excuse me. The nicest little animal.
She's super sweet, so I'm hands-free at the moment, actually, because she's just napping on the floor, and I'm not even holding her leash because she just wants to be next to her people, and that's the kind of dog she is. She is super well-trained. She's about 2 years old. She's an Australian cattle dog mix, weighs about 45, 50 pounds. Not
she doesn't have
big.
A short tail. She's got
a longer tail. Yeah. She's really beautiful brown. And she's an Australian cattle dog mix.
Okay.
Really beautiful brown and white speckly dog. She's beautiful. And she is really extremely affectionate, really calm. She's really just okay to just sit next to. She just wants to kind of be right next to you.
Is she good on a leash and all that?
She's great on a leash. She's good, knows all of her basic commands. She sits and she lays down and reads the room really well. She knows, okay, time to be friendly, and she likes everybody. She hasn't met not one person she didn't like today.
She came over and I reached down to pet her, and she licked my hand.
Yeah,
I thought
she
was
a little shy at first when she first came to the shelter, but that seems to just have gone completely away.
Where'd you get her from?
She came in as a stray, actually.
Really? Mm-hmm. You know what? This just amazes
me. How can that be? That well-trained, beautiful animal, and no one's looking for her? Or?
No, it happens all the time, unfortunately.
Do you think that they just think that the dogs run away and they don't really, well, you know what, believe it or not, I bet there are people out there that don't know about Haven Humane.
There are people, yes,
lots
we've heard,
of people
so.
Out there that don't know about, I know, and which is hard to believe since Haven Humane is everywhere. I mean, the paper, you know, everywhere.
If
everywhere.
You lose your dog in the city of Anderson, the city of Redding, or within the county limits of Shasta County, so all of Shasta County, city of, both city ofs, it gets brought to Haven.
Every place but inside the city limits of the city of Shasta Lake.
No. City of Shasta Lake has their own animal control.
That's what I'm saying. So every place in Shasta County, except inside the city of Shasta Lake.
Yep. But we have city of Redding and city of Anderson.
And the unincorporated area.
And the unincorporated Shasta County as well. We don't provide animal control for Shasta County because the animal control is done by Shasta County because they have Shasta County animal control. But we house all of the animals that are picked up. So, I mean, if you're looking for your dog and you're thinking it's not going to be at a Haven, you might be wrong. So I would definitely come and check if you're looking for an animal.
Right now, that dog is just laying there. She's kind of looking around. But her markings are just wonderful.
Yeah,
she's just brown and white. Like, she's like white with brown, like you said,
cinnamon.
Cinnamon sugar.
She looks like sugar,
like,
cinnamon
like,
toast.
Like sprinkled on her.
Don't
so
bite
she's
her.
Really. Really?
Please don't eat my dog.
Don't eat the dog.
No,
now,
she's
okay,
beautiful.
So can people come get the dog today?
Of course. She's ready to go. She's spayed and up to date on all of her vaccines, microchipped, and she's
ready to go.
Was
she spayed when she came in?
She was, actually.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't microchipped?
Yep.
Darn. Okay. You know, if you're looking for a good dog, this looks like a really good dog. You know what? She's quiet. She's probably she needs a yard. Get out there and get a little exercise. Or you can take her out and walk her.
Yeah. No, she would probably be okay with that. She's, as far as like a cattle dog mix, they're usually pretty high energy. She doesn't seem to really be.
Might be that mix.
It might be. She's done so good today. I'm got a real good dog crush on her because she's just easy. She's just an easy dog to be around.
That's cool, too, after you have some dogs that maybe just a little hyper.
Because
they're excited.
Kind of dislocate your shoulder while you're walking them. Yeah. That's not her. She's easy. Like, I'm not tugging on a leash right now or telling them to sit. She's just
napping.
Good.
She's just napping there.
Yeah,
she just came in and just kind of has not been around her in anybody's face ever since she got here.
No, she's not. Super forward, but she's very sweet.
How is she with other dogs and cats?
I believe she's okay with other dogs. So she does. I don't know about cats. I haven't tested her. But she doesn't seem to have a very high prey drive, like, you know, wanting to chase anything. Normally, I can tell when in the morning I see all the birds outside and the dogs, you know, get their ears up and they're checking them out and want to run after them. And she could care less about that. So
she's happy just being with you.
She's just happy being with you. And she is kind of, you like, get it. You can't stop petting her when you start because she just stares at you and smiles the whole time. So you just don't want to stop because you don't want to disappoint her.
Okay. Head on down to Haven Humane today.
Yeah. And also check out our website for Doggy Dash. It's coming up
on the
24th.
Doggy Dash is coming up March 24th.
That's
and you know what? If you adopt Cinnamon, and you can rename Cinnamon if you want to. No,
that's against the rules. You're not renaming her.
You can take Cinnamon probably on this doggy dash because they've got a 3 mile and a 6 mile.
Yeah, she would love it.
Or a 6 or a 5K and a 10K. Yeah. So it's 3.1 miles or 6.2 miles. But she would probably go great on the 3 mile at least, you know, so you could just kind of walk along with her and or get on your skateboard and let her pull you along.
Yeah.
Like Trish does. Trish gets on her skateboard and lets her dogs pull her along. Okay.
All five of them.
All five of them. All right. Thanks so much, Amy.
All right. Have a good
weekend. This is a great dog.
She is a great dog.
Okay. Wake her up so you can take her out of here.
Excuse me.
She's not sleeping, actually.
She's her eyes are open. She's just, you know what, dogs, you know, even though they're laying there and people think, oh, they're sleeping, they're not. A lot of times
they're very aware while they're.
They're alert. You know, they're lay there and they look around. You know, their eyes are looking around. Then they close their eyes a little bit and then they look around some more. Elk killers like that. I think elk killers land there, sleep on the floor. Elk killers. She's planning. She's planning.
Plotting.
Then I see her. See her eyes moving around, thinking about how she can work me to get another chicken treat.
All mine have to do is yawn. I don't know what it is about dog yawns that make me just
sleepy.
No, they just get me so. I just get. Oh, it's the cutest thing when they yawn, and it's just a yawn. But I look. Oh, it melts me for some reason. Makes them.
So
I don't know.
You taking Cinnamon home today?
No.
Okay.
I'm at my limit.
All right. You know, so's Mark. Mark's at his limit
again.
He says, I'm not going to get another one. That lasted a week. And he's got another one. I think they got six now or five.
Oh, five or six, yeah.
Okay, Amy, thank you so much.
All right. Have a good weekend, guys.
Okay,
all
we're
going
to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Here's a question is, can Congress block this steel and aluminum thing? And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But what we've also got is that, you know, Congressman Doug Emhoff is coming on today. And trust me. We're going to ask him about that. We're going to ask him about the statement about due process and taking people's guns away and all this thing. But, but Trish and I have discussed this, and people are really roused about this whole thing. But, this may be one of those things that he was talking out of a specific instance. But
it's scary.
I haven't seen it. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back.
Reading Gun Show this weekend only at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, jam-packed with all your favorite firearms. Brands like Glock, Winchester, Remington, SIG, Smith & Wesson, Ruger, and much, much more. So remember, the Reading Gun Show this weekend only at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Redding Kia, inviting you to clean up with big savings during Redding Kia's spring cleanup sale.
Kia, America's best value gives you more, like America's best warranty and great gas mileage.
It's the 51-mile-per-gallon 2018 Kia Niro, highest-ranked small SUV in initial quality in 2017. You have got to drive this car.
And you'll clean up on a new 2018 Kia Optima, EPA-rated 36 miles per gallon highway, lots of room for your friends and family, and a ride you're going to love.
The 2018 Kia Sorento, highest-ranked midsize SUV in initial quality in 2017, is available now and at a great sale price.
And you'll really clean up with complimentary lifetime oil changes when you purchase your next vehicle at Redding Kia. So come on, take a test drive, make a great deal, and be happy at your Kia Superstore.
Redding Kia's spring cleanup sale on now. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. We both own Kias, and we love them.
Redding Kia, Facebook, Instagram, reddingkia.com.
Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. I'm here with Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Homes, and we're here at the Salt Creek Heights subdivision.
We're very fortunate to be involved with Powerhouse as they do such a great job on the installation. It's clean, it's simple, it's a no-brainer. The first 34 home buyers in Salt Creek subdivision comes with a solar setup already.
The thing that to me is exciting is that each home has the ability to turn their home into a zero-energy home. Mm-hmm. And they can be part of making this a zero-energy community. The system that we're installing, up to 10 panels, will eliminate all of the kilowatt-hour usage of that home. And if they add a pool, if they add an electric car in the future, then at that point they can add more solar to offset those loads as well.
We've already recognized quite a bit of savings by using SunPower and Powerhouse Solar.
If you'd like more information on Salt Creek Heights and how Powerhouse Solar can zero out your energy bill, call 275-5600 today.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipe sweet cream pancakes, hickory smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. A little more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460, the epicenter of the change in Redding. Now, everything that's being built is right around us right here, and we're rebuilding all of our studios right here in the same spot, even though that it's been 2 months now. But we finally got the everybody telling us how much it's going to be, you know, got all the estimates in so we can pull the trigger on this next week.
I know.
I'm amazed at your patience.
Well,
let me tell you about my patience. You know, I kind of feel like that buzzard that's sitting up there on the tree says, you know what, the hell with this waiting. Let's just go kill something. You know, I'm at that point right now. Okay, the hell with this. I'm just going to do it. You know, just do it. Just start ripping stuff out. I got Jared and his gang of big guys. We're going to start moving furniture from one side to the other as we're ripping things out. You know, and then we're going to get painted.
I'm good at ripping. I'm good at teardown.
I don't. They're charging us.
We should have done all that.
We could tear this down. I'm pretty sure I could tear it down. But you know, we cut into it the other day. It's glued to the wall. So I'm thinking is I'm going to get a pry bar, which I just happen to have in my truck, and along with other things like that. And I'm going to try and break it loose today and see what it looks like. And if we can pull it down, I'm going to get Jared and the gang of large guys just to tear all this stuff down, and then let them take care of taking it away. Yeah. Okay, stand by. We're gonna have a, you know.
Now that we've
Jared could come in here and do it tomorrow with his gang too on Saturday if he can still walk. Good morning, everybody. Hey, it's like 22 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock here on the 2nd, 32 degrees, going up to 47 a day. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. You know what? Now, this is where it's really important that you get those chips in your windshield fixed. Because if you get water in it, like Jared did, and it freezes, it expands that little chip into a crack. And then now you've got a crack across the front of your windshield instead of this little bitty chip that he fixes that it's invisible. Now you got a crack. It's a couple of feet in length that you've got to take it down there. Then he's going to fix that, and he's going to tell you, well, yeah, okay, I'll fix this one, but this one I'm not going to fix because it's going to interfere with your vision or whatever. Because Jeff Wurst is a pro. He's not going to do something that's going to look bad. First of all, he's not going to do something that's going to impair your sight because he believes in safety. That's why he's doing this Crackmaster windshield repair. Head on down to 3208 South Market Street. Give Jeff a call at 241-8373. Like I said, it's a better known business. He's extremely honest, extremely upfront with you and your windshields there, but he can fix that chip, especially now where they can crack and destroy your windshield. Okay. Our guests are already starting to line up. You know, this thing about I have this written down that Trump announced that 25% steel tariff and a 10% aluminum tariff. They are, you know, the GOP is like, and I don't think the Democrats even know what to say, but the market dropped 400 points.
But, you know, explain to me, because we pay a tariff when we go into other countries. Well, our products go in and we pay a tariff.
Right.
Why is everybody having such a fit about treating them exactly the same way that we treat us?
I think it's the size of the tariff, of the 25%, and the impact that's going to have until, you know, see, what Trump is saying is, look, this is something he ran on. I'm going to rebuild the steel industry. And the way you do that is you put a tariff on other countries to make it fair, which means, okay, if you're going to pay this much, I might as well just make it here in the United States. Until they can get that going, though, they are not only is that tariff going to cost the American people a lot of money, it also means they are going to counter-tariff us, but probably in the agricultural side of it, because we ship a lot of food stuffs out.
But it's my understanding we're already paying the tariff.
We may be paying the tariffs, but not to that level that he's talking about. But we'll talk to Congressman LaMalfa about it. But it's the agricultural ones that they're saying is because we don't ship we don't ship steel, but we ship oil.
But we're building a lot of food. But we're building a lot of stuff in the United States where we're using foreign steel, and
he has said
you cannot do that. Anything you're building that has a government contract, he's already come out and said, you're to use local American steel. I want everybody using American steel. So that certainly is going to build that market.
Well,
maybe it's the size of it. I'm going to have to be convinced that it's a bad thing.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking is maybe it's the amount of the tariff, the size of the tariff, because you've got other people. Because see, they're not going to retaliate in steel because they can't. We don't have it. We don't ship steel out, but they could retaliate in like I said, in the agricultural area, that where we ship a lot of that out or other things. But we import so much of our clothing now and all of this.
And that's what we're trying to get away from, rebuilding the manufacturing, rebuilding the industry in the United States and not bring in all that stuff. How many years have you said, buy America, buy America? Well, if you're going to continue to transport all this stuff in from other countries and junk.
They bring it in and they build it here. Essentially, like the truck. I mean, like the car companies. I don't know. I don't see them buying steel and products like that from the United States because I don't think we can do that. That's why you remember when they redid the Bay Bridge? They used all the stuff from China. It was all the Chinese steel they brought in and their engineers. And they found out the steel wasn't that good.
Well, my point, but most of those big manufacturing companies have been driven out of business because of the cheap, inferior stuff being brought
in
from overseas.
So if you put a 25% tariff on it,
producing it right here.
Absolutely. Well, it's like people bringing their companies back in the United States by cutting that big tax that they had to pay.
There you go.
So you cut that down 15%, and guess what? Those businesses will come out because they can compete in the United States.
Well, I'm just saying.
Those T-shirt companies will come back that they used to be in the United States, and then Walmart bought all of their stuff, and then Walmart kept dropping the price. And the only way they could compete is to shut down their factory and buy it from China.
That's right.
I've heard those stories.
Well, and we've been hearing this forever about the manufacturing jobs, the coal industry, the steel industry, all those things that have been put out of business because they couldn't compete with the product being brought in. Put a tariff on it, they can't bring it in. Now it makes it economical to go ahead and build your own and produce your own product.
Yeah.
See, they used to produce a lot of steel in the United States.
We did. We were the major steel workers.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So I think we can go back to that. I'm going to have to be convinced.
How many jobs that'll be.
A lot of jobs.
Yeah.
Can gear up quickly.
I'm not sure about that.
I think they can.
I'm not sure about that because steel plants that have gone into disarray, you look up in the Rust Belt, you know, up in Michigan and all those places, they're going to have to completely refurbish those. And just imagine what the environmental laws now to start a steel plant or to kick one off again.
Ooh.
Hey, by the way, anonymous eBay shopper and ranger, good morning, guys. And I'm glad you're here. And if you've got questions for Congressman LaMalfa, he'll be on around 8 o'clock. If you have questions just about the universe, you can ask Trish and I at any time.
In the chat room at kcnr1460.com, or you can give us a call. 605-4567.
Yeah, we're gonna take a break. We've got Marcus Parton here, and we're talking about a fundraiser out here for the Palisadro Club that they're going to have, which is going to have a lot of wine. And you know, if it's got a lot of wine, it's got to be a fun time. So we'll be right back after these messages. Portion of the show, though, is brought to you by Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms, if you're looking for a firearm, this is the place to go to buy a firearm or any of the accessories, ammo, reloading equipment, optics, anything they have there. Plus, they have classes in CCW, hunter safety, they have it all. This is a one-stop shop, Bastiani Arms. And it's owned by two local people, John and Sarah, and the people they have working there have been working with them for the last 8 years since they opened up, because they are a really super place to go into. The customer service is just outstanding. Stop by 2539 Larkspur. That's 2539 Larkspur right here in Reading. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Bastiani Arms. We'll be right back. Trish Clark and Carl Bott.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
The Reading Gun Show, this weekend only at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Jam-packed with all your favorite firearms. Brands like Glock, Winchester, Remington, SIG, Smith & Wesson, Ruger, and much, much more. So remember, the Reading Gun Show, this weekend only at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
The Ten Tenors are coming to the Reading Civic Auditorium March 16th with their acclaimed show, Wish You Were Here, a celebration of legends featuring the music of David Bowie, Prince, Amy Winehouse, John Lennon, Michael Jackson, Freddie Mercury, Whitney Houston, and more. Fresh off their 20th anniversary world tour, the Ten Tenors return with their show, Wish You Were Here. With over 700 sold-out shows, 6 albums that have gone platinum and gold, it's the Ten Tenors. Don't miss your opportunity to experience this international singing sensation live at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Get your tickets for this soon-to-be-sold-out show, the Ten Tenors, March 16th. Go to readingcivic.com for your tickets today. Tickets are also available at the Civic box office or by calling 229-0022.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park's new exhibition, Design Zone, is now open and ready for action. Now through April 6th in the museum, explore the concepts behind video games, drum machines, skate parks, roller coasters, and more. And learn how artists, designers, musicians, and innovators design the concepts behind these technologies. Design Zone is free for members or included in park admission, only at Turtle Bay.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. Look around. There are all these places that are going to be building down here. We're right in the middle of all this.
I know.
Every day we're going to post, you know, like, there's K2, is they're going to start. And then the police station behind us is going to be torn down and made into something. We got that new coffee place right down the way here. And then they're talking about taking down the, of course, they haven't agreed on that one yet, taking down the... the parking structure, putting something there. And then I understand, you know, Marcus Parton is, you know, he's buying up all of downtown. He's going to take to the Rims Hotel. He's going to throw all the old people out. And he's going to make it into a discotheque. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 25 years. Home business. These are really wonderful people. Any make or any type make or model of any type of heating or cooling system, their people have been through all the schools, and they do just outstanding work. Voted best in the North State, and like I said, a veteran-owned business. Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Alliance Heating and Air. We are here with Marcus Parton. And
an incredulous look on his face.
All of the things you were saying he was doing, starting rumors. And Ron Marin.
Good morning.
And we're here not to talk. And I was just kidding about Marcus. He's not going to turn out all the old people down into the
not all of them.
Not all of them, just some of them. If they can disco, they are invited to be there. They're all going to go over to the senior center down in
Anderson,
which is having their breakfast.
Their breakfast on this Sunday, first Sunday of the month. Absolutely.
They have 7 to 11. Oh, that's a great breakfast. Oh, wow. You know, you can start your whole day off there.
Well, and not eat again until that night. That's right, because you have your choice of pancakes or French toast or biscuits and gravy. Mm-hmm. And all of the fixings that goes with that. And it's homemade biscuit gravy.
It's there.
Doesn't get better than that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. We're here because for a really a good cause.
Absolutely. And good morning, everyone. Yes, we are here. We wanted to promote the 14th annual celebration of North State Wines. It's a great fundraiser for the Palisadro Community Park, which has been around for many, many years. But it was only in the last few years that we've seen some really substantial development. And just so everyone knows, the park is ran by a nonprofit organization. So it's a volunteer-based board of directors who have to figure out how to keep the gates open, how to pay the bills. So we have to maintain the park, figure out how to develop the park. We've got a lot of great things that's happened with the park in the past few years. And so that is what we do, is we come up with fundraisers. And, of course, as I said, 14 years ago, they started with the concept of this fundraiser that we are that we have coming up here next week. So this year, it's going to be Saturday, of course, March 10th, and it's going to be at Mercy Oaks, and it's going to go from 5:30 to 10. And we just it's just a wonderful, wonderful evening. We have all in one place, you've got 11 different wineries that will be there serving and wine tasting. So for the wine enthusiasts, it doesn't get better than that. We will have pairings along with the wines, and we will have a wine store. So if you like what you taste, you just waltz right over to the wine store, you purchase your bottle of wine, you take it back to your table, and you enjoy it with your guests, your friends, your family. So, just wonderful.
Remind everyone where Mercy Oaks is.
Mercy Oaks is up off, it's by Simpson College, right next door, up in that area.
It's the complex where Shasta Senior Nutrition, now Dignity Health, the Golden Umbrella, and the apartment complex up there.
That is correct.
A lot of people are unfamiliar with the term Mercy Oaks, I've been told, and they don't
really
identify with where in the world is that?
It was
Shasta Senior Nutrition, Golden Umbrella, now it's all Dignity Health, Extended Living.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was out there. Okay. So what's out there at the park? You know, when people say, hey, I'd like to go out there. I haven't been out there before.
So in the past few years, we have been able to put a commercial-grade, very diverse playground out there. We have barbecue pits, areas, if you will, to go ahead and enjoy. We have the Eagle Scouts have played a big part in the development of the park. They have come in with projects.
That's part of being an Eagle Scout, of course. You have a community project, and they have just great ones. Yeah,
they do. Have.
I've been a benefactor of those in many of the projects they've done throughout Shasta County.
Absolutely.
And they do a marvelous job.
And because of the nature of the park, you know, they come to us with their concept, their plan. We come together, and they have built steel bridges that will connect the south and north portions of the park. They have built a shade structure. They are this spring we're going to a half basketball court, brand new horseshoe pits will be completed. The barbecues were built by an Eagle Scout, and we also have some wetlands out there. And one of them came in with a roped off perimeter and a little information about the wetlands. And so they've just done a tremendous job out there helping us develop the park.
Where's the park located exactly?
It's on Cedro Lane. And so if you come into Palo Cedro, when you come to the four-way stop, on your left would be the Holiday Market Shopping Center.
Right.
That's where you take a right, and there's a Chevron station. It's right behind the Chevron station there.
All right.
So
it's close in. I didn't realize it was, you know, I have not been there. I mean, I've driven all over Palo Cedro, but I haven't been in there.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that size.
It's 18 acres, and, you know, there was a big, huge concept. There was a lot more development that was supposed to occur that maybe someday still will. But for now, we're kind of doing it in phases. And so just to expand on what's been done out there, also we have a 9-hole disc golf course. We have walking trails. And, you know, so just a lot of things that that will benefit anyone who visits the park. Of course, who benefits from the park? Families, children, surrounding communities, outdoor enthusiasts. You know, we just see a whole range of people come out there and enjoy it. So we're just having a great time with it. And every weekend you'll see the place is packed. And so it just really is a rewarding experience to see that we've created this facility for everyone to enjoy.
You know, I remember when I was in office and the times that they started this. You're saying it's 14 years since the wine tasting. That was just before I got out. And it was years before that where they were always trying to come up with the property and make something happen. So it's delightful to see that they've actually come that far.
Absolutely.
And developed that much of it out there. Congratulations to the community. That's a job well done.
Yes, yes.
And Marcus Parton. Yeah, and Marcus Parton, who is, you know, of course, the wine village. And so you're involved in this because of the vintners?
Yes. 4 years ago, we started getting involved as a sponsor with it. And, you know, just a great, great event where you get a chance to meet winemakers, wine personnel, and whatever, really connect with some of our great award-winning area wineries involved. Plus, there's food. It's just a great gathering. It's almost like having a little village of wineries.
right there
what
with
a concept.
Food.
What a concept.
Gee, I wonder where that one's going to. Okay, and so we're talking about some really good wine out there, and people can come in. And who's providing the food? Is this different areas too?
It's going to be a catered event, and we are working we're communicating with a few different caterers. It might be Mercy Oaks, it might be Bon Appetit, it might be a few others that we have in mind.
Randy's Hot Dog Stand is not
maybe.
Not
Randy might be out
Randy's
there.
Randy's not in the running for this, probably. Right.
We're that down, but whoever it is, we always have some heavy hors d'oeuvres, and it's just a wonderful array, delicious foods on top of the pairings. So just a good variety.
Great.
Everyone's will not go away hungry. It's going to be fun.
Okay, now we need to know where you can get tickets from and dates and all that stuff once again.
Once again, it's Saturday, March 10th at Mercy Oaks.
A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow.
Right.
It goes from 5:30 to 10 p.m. You can visit pc.org or pcpark.org, and that will take you to the link. Or you can go to the celebration of NorthStateWine.com, and you can do online tickets. You can purchase them that way, or you can visit the Palo Cedro Feed store in Palo Cedro, and they have hard tickets there. They have ones that you can actually walk out with. So
Palo Cedro Feed store, I love that.
I would recommend getting tickets early. It has sold out before, and I was looking at Facebook yesterday morning. They had, I think, 368 people interested or going, and that's a sellout, and so I wouldn't wait to get them at the door.
Because this is great wines put together by Marcus.
Nope.
11 local wineries?
I know, but
yes.
Regional.
But
yeah.
Regional ones, but I mean, okay, but you know all about them, and, the, you know, bringing in. So we've got some great wines, and then the food's Outstanding. And it's for a good cause.
It's for a great cause. We're going to have
a lot. How much are the tickets?
They're $55 a piece.
Okay.
Or you can do a table sponsorship for $600, which includes, that's a table for eight, and you have bottles of wine that come with that, two bottles of wine that's included. Also, you get your name listed on the table and so forth, some recognition and acknowledgement, so forth.
Sounds
and
good.
So keep in mind, we have a nice gun raffle out there. We've got silent auction items, live auction items, live music, dancing. So just a great evening.
I love the North State. You know, we had gun raffles. I did a gun raffle. I did a gun raffle for One Safe Place, and they loved it. In fact, they were buying. You know, the staff over there was buying raffle tickets too. So I mean, you know, a gun raffle is automatically is a moneymaker.
Well, it is, and bears out the fact that the gun itself is not the problem.
No. I know. You know,
for whatever, I remember doing a fundraiser one time for a youth group, and I wanted to do the gun raffle, and I had people go, and I went, what?
Yeah.
And we did it. But the immediate reaction was, this is for a great cause.
Drink some great, drink some good wine, sip some good wine, and have appetizers. Have a good time that night. 5:30 to 10:30 is out at Mercy Oaks. $55 tickets. You have a gun raffle going on, and I'm sure there's other things.
Yeah, also. a whole lot of other things. It's going to be a well-rounded, great evening. Come on out, family, friends.
Super.
So
sounds like a great evening.
Ron Marin and Marcus Parton. And Marcus is going to join us next week.
Next morning.
Thanks for coming in, guys. We're going to talk about
Shasta Wine Village.
Shasta Wine Village.
There you go.
This has been coming for years. And this is kind of like, you've been pursuing this goal, and you can finally now see it starting to materialize.
I think it's the tunnel and not the train.
Yeah, now it's at the end of the tunnel instead of the train the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Super. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Reading Gun Show this weekend only at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, jam-packed with all your favorite firearms. Brands like Glock, Winchester, Remington, SIG, Smith & Wesson, Ruger, and much, much more. So remember, the Reading Gun Show this weekend only at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right-of-way. Or really. Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Gervin. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Tracy Edwards, and we would like to invite you to Glitz and Glamour at Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino's Year to Remember Roaring Twenties, Saturday, March 3rd at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Tickets include dinner, awards presentation, and silent auction. Celebrate the 70 organizations that received funds in 2017, with one organization receiving an additional gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund. Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino's Glamorous Roaring Twenties, Saturday, March 3rd. For event information, please call 242-4516.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling, says I need you here.
And welcome back. This is Free Fire Radio, Chris and Carl. And
good
we were just visiting with the people from the Palisadro Park.
Trying to get an extra bottle of wine out. So, hey, you know what? This is going to be because, you know, once you pay that price, that's all your food and that's all your drink. That's not like you have to go pay for more wine. Then you can taste all of those wines, copious amounts of tasting. Also.
Exactly. And if you have one favorite that you want to purchase a bottle of wine, then you can do that as well. But you can continue to drink all evening of just a glass of this and a glass of that and a taste of this. So, yeah, and lots of nice hors d'oeuvres and good company, and they sit dancing, and, wow, that's going to be a good thing. We'll hope it's not raining or something silly like that.
You know, we got people here.
Although it's at Mercy Oaks, so it doesn't matter.
You know, some of the comments here, and it's kind of, I guess it is relative because Doug LaMoff is going to be on it, is that he said something about, I guess, on Facebook. I don't look at Facebook a lot. You know, I put, you know, what our show is the next day and all that, and then I'll look at the page. You know, I'll scroll down the page, see what it is. You know, you get all these notations, you know, and then, oh, these people want to be your friends. I mean, I don't know anybody in Kenya, and I don't know anybody in, you know,
Facebook is complicated to get your posts out that you want to have people see.
I'm not sure how that works anymore.
So you do public, but then if you do public, then everybody can read it, and then you start as you indicate, getting all these friend requests from all over the place, and I don't know any of those people. So then I think, well, I don't want. So I go back to private postings, and then people say, but now I can't share your post.
I can't share your post.
It's a learning experience, and everything I have. Every time I think I have it handled, then they do an update and they change it, and it's different now. So.
And then, you know, you're not even sure who sees things anymore.
Exactly. Like, I'm also not seeing things from people that I used to see things
that's
from.
Weird. That's weird.
Yeah. So it's very complicated.
Having said that,
it does serve a purpose to get information out there.
But what they were saying was Doug LaMoff said something about Billy Graham. And Cheryl said she was just the amount of hate that was poured out onto his page under the comments because he had said something nice about Billy Graham, you know, who just passed away, and the amount of hatred and vitriol that came out onto the page.
Wow.
And I've seen that before, and it makes me wonder, you know, though, you know, because you'll look at things like they make comments about, remember the Papini girl. Sherry Papini.
Yes.
I never really saw a lot of comments, but then you go to, say, another site, and there's whole sites out there that are just built to try to destroy this young lady, this woman, just destroy her.
Yeah.
And then you look at these other things about the amount of hatred. And I'm not sure why. It must be because these people are nameless and faceless, and they can say these things. And there's no repercussions.
Do you remember, and we don't do it so much anymore, but in the newspaper.
Well, they make people identify themselves.
But
now.
They didn't.
Yeah.
But you remember when, and I remember when different articles would come out, and I made the mistake one time of actually reading the comments about an article.
Yeah.
And I was, I mean, I'm pretty used to a lot of things. I was absolutely taken back.
Yeah.
By the animosity and absolute venom that was spouted.
There's
by these people over over. It was the article over the, that talked about whether I was going to run for the assembly or not.
Right.
And it absolutely, I mean, it shook me to see that there was that much. And of course, I have my picture of that person who does that, who sits there in their wife beater T-shirt, drinking a beer with their.
Oh, some of these are women, though.
And this awful,
well, it could
awful
still be a woman.
And, well, there you go, man or woman. But the point being that they're unidentified. They're nameless and faceless, and nobody can say who they are. But where does that kind of venom and hate come from about someone you barely know?
Well, you may not even know them at all.
Exactly.
But, and there's one, her name is Patricia. I'm not going to give her last name. But I've been reading stuff she's been writing for years, and there is so much anger. She doesn't even live here. She lives down someplace else. She used to live here, and then she goes. But the anger in this woman, like, you know, when I pointed out, you know, and I just said, hey, there's a lot of people, because I wrote a comment that says, there's a lot of people like me out there that have served their country, you know, have jobs. And I said, I have many, many friends, doctors, lawyers, stockbrokers, gosh, you name it. Every form of business and individual, you know, everybody, liberals, Democrats, who have semi-automatic weapons, and we're not bad people. And she writes something to the fact that it's because we're racist. You know, and I'm not sure how she tied that in. And I'm thinking to myself, of course, there's others, too, that say, you know, oh, you don't need that. Well, that's fine. You can say that, but you're not saying something about me. You're just saying is, oh, it's, you just need it because, you know, you don't need that, and it, you know, makes you feel better or bigger or something. You know, I really don't need that anyway, but okay.
But the Second Amendment says you can have it.
But it's when you get into the thing about, oh, it's because you're racist and, you hate people of a color, and all this, that's why you have guns. And I'm thinking to myself, that's really strange to have somebody make that leap like that automatically turns you into a xenophobic racist
because
you own a weapon, you own a firearm.
But they do that. The left does that to any of us about any statement we make that contradicts what they believe. And they immediately jump into the whole white race, xenophobic, racist kind of picture.
And vice versa.
And vice versa.
Some on the far right, yeah, absolutely do the
right
same.
And, you know, you call them names and all these things. No, but it's right. It goes on both sides. But
where it's difficult to agree to disagree, and we used to be able to do that.
Well, you know, like here, Jared and I have different viewpoints on a lot of things, but we never get into a heated argument.
Yeah, but you're his boss.
Well, no, that's not it, Jared.
No.
A stand-up guy.
We've gotten into heated discussions, never like
stepping
over the line.
Well, one time when Nate used to be here, Nate Alvarez, he loved him like a son most of the time. He said something to the effect that veterans were all crazy killers. And, yeah, he said that. And I looked at him because I was giving him a ride out to an event. And we got out there and I said, say that again. He says, well, it's just obvious is that, you know, the veterans, you know, they're all crazy now because they've been in combat and all that. And I was like, I said, you realize I'm a veteran. He goes, he had forgotten. And he goes, oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Well, maybe.
Well, guess what? I left him there. I after the event was over, I said, you better find a way home. I'm not giving you a ride. Now, was that cheap and petty of me? Probably. But I also knew that other people from our place were there that could give him a ride back. So I just said, go ask them for a ride back. Because,
want to get into the car with a crazed killer?
Yeah, that's it. Because I'll drop you off Shasta Dam. You know what? I'll drop you off Shasta Dam in a heartbeat. But.
How funny. You know, I saw a post. Speaking of Nate, he's a friend on Facebook, and I saw a post recently that he had. I love Nate.
Nate. He's out there.
Yes,
and he and Jared could corner the market right here in Reading because there's only four of them. So the four of you could start the far left cigar club, and two of you could run it.
I would never accuse all veterans of being crazy or any of them, really.
I know that, you know, and it's just like you don't say all liberals want to take your guns away because they don't. You know, a lot of them are very socially liberal, but mm-hmm. they believe in owning, you know, firearms. But, you know, but they haven't met a cause once that they wouldn't give your money to house people
that's
and all
key.
That. You know what? But frankly, okay, and this will shock you and all this. You know, we haven't found a solution yet on what works on this thing with those homeless, but they have tried this out at North Valley, and they've put at the Catholic services, and they've housed, I think, 180 people out there. You know, with low income or no income, they've found apartments for them out there, and just started them on a new life. We're going to get them on as soon as I can reach one of them, which is not easy to do because you have to leave messages. To get them on and talk about this housing project they have out there. It was a great article in the paper. I hate to say it, but it was a great article in the paper.
Do you know, and I do believe that that is part of the solution. I believe
housing
that
housing is part of it. It's got to be.
Well, there is a population out there that if you can get them at a time when you know, through no fault of their own or through one paycheck, lost a job, whatever, and they end up homeless, if you can pick those people up off the street at that point, get them into some kind of housing, some kind of path to a new job or doing community work or what have
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Then those people can be resold and put back
and
into society.
And that's going to take people
And that's
off.
A bulk. I mean,
and,
that's a
and,
lot of
and
people.
And I tell you what, the guy that's running for city council, he was all for that. But he says, but once they say they don't want to do that,
kick
play
loose.
By the rules, you've got to get rid of them.
And that's
sure,
where we fall down.
I am not sure how he – but. I'm not sure how he means, you know, about how do you do it, though? How do you move people out that don't want to play the game?
You go in and you pick them up and you put them
and
back on the
And we have
street,
got to run right
up,
now. Governor LaMoffa or Governor? Congressman LaMoffa will be calling us here just in a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Have been locked down. Lots of rain and some snow from a powerful nor'easter that's battering the East Coast from Virginia to New England. Dangerously high winds have downed trees and power lines, leaving hundreds of thousands without electricity. There's also a threat of serious coastal flooding. More than 2,000 people have gathered in Charlotte, North Carolina for today's funeral of the Reverend Billy Graham.
We're here on the campus of the Billy Graham Library for a service that will pay tribute to the life and ministry of Graham. Family, friends, and dignitaries, including President Trump, are among the invited guests. Graham's 5 children and sister will deliver personal messages at the noontime service.
The pulpit where Franklin and all of the speakers will speak from is the one his father used at his crusades in the 1990s.
Spokesman Mark DeMoss.
That's correspondent Greg Clugston. Wall Street taking a beating today on concerns about a possible trade war.
President Trump is arguing for steep tariffs on steel and aluminum imports, saying trade wars are good. In an early morning tweet, Trump says, when a country, USA, is losing many billions of dollars on trade with virtually every country it does business with, trade wars are good and easy to win. The president argues that the U.S. is, in his words, down $100 billion with a certain country, and they get cued. Don't trade anymore? We win big. It's easy. That certain country Trump mentions appears to be China. Matt Small, Washington.
And the Dow is down 317 points, the NASDAQ off 37. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The Bitcoin bubble has popped, but the fact is, the underlying technology behind Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is the most revolutionary breakthrough since the Internet. Do you remember what happened after the Internet bubble? Yeah, now it's a multi-trillion dollar per year industry. This will be no different. And because this bubble has already popped, this is the time to buy low. Investment bankers and wealthy investors are just starting to take this thing seriously, and you should too. A long-term investment in Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, or Ripple could turbocharge your portfolio and change your life. Call Noble Bitcoin to get your free guide to investing in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies with your IRA and 401k. Just call 800-687-5405 and leave your email on the 24/7 voicemail to get Noble Bitcoin's free guide to investing in Bitcoin with your IRA and 401k. Call 800-687-5405. Leave your name and email on the voicemail and we'll send your report right away. That's 800-687-5405.
British Prime Minister Theresa May promising to tell the European Union what Britain is prepared to give and what it wants to take in a post-Brexit trade deal with the bloc.
The Prime Minister's answer to criticisms that her position has been vague and unrealistic will be more details than before on the approach she will take and the compromises she's willing to make. Theresa May will set 5 tests for her negotiations to achieve a final deal that protects the economy, security and the union. One cabinet minister has told me it will feel like she is being honest with the public and will tell some hard truths. The EU has already expressed reservations about this broad approach, cautioning that it's impossible to pick and mix.
The BBC's Laura Coons. Turkey's Air Force has hit two positions of pro-government Syrian fighters deployed last week in the Kurdish enclave of Afrin. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The walkout by West Virginia public school teachers, not over yet.
The standoff over teacher pay in West Virginia continues. Officials say public schools in all 55 of West Virginia's counties will remain closed Friday. Teachers and school service personnel walked off the job last week and stayed out even though Governor Jim Justice and union leaders negotiated a 5% pay raise Tuesday. The West Virginia State House approved the pay raise Wednesday, but majority Republicans in the state Senate voted 20-14 to block an immediate floor vote. I'm Mike Rossia.
Georgia Republican state lawmakers have voted to kill a tax break that would have saved Delta Airlines millions in sales tax on jet fuel. The action comes after Delta said it would no longer offer discounted fares to members of the National Rifle Association. The airline made that decision on the heels of the Florida high school massacre. The Dow down 319 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460. The news is always brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Open 7 days a week. Same great service, same great walk-in humidor. Good morning. It is the 2nd of March, 2018. And what's the weather look like there,
36 degrees as we speak in downtown Reading. We're looking today for a showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 4 a.m. this evening. High today of only 47, not going to warm up much, and a low of 35. On Saturday, showers likely with thunderstorms, and a high of 50, calm wind becoming southeast in the evening, so not too much wind. Boy, that wind we've had this week has been horrendous.
Wow.
Saturday night, a 50% chance of showers. On Sunday, a 20% chance of showers, high of 52 and a low around 33. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're looking at just a little bit of chance of showers, cloudy, sunny, and by Wednesday, it looks like it might rain again. So we can just look forward to a wet March, I hope. Weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
And let's go to our Wells Fargo advisor, Susan Eastman. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Well, stocks are declining for a fourth consecutive day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off 330 points at 24,278. The S&P 500 is down 16 points at 2,660. And the NASDAQ Composite losing 41 points at 7,138. The three most actively traded stocks on the big board, GE up 8 cents at $14.10, Bank of America down 35 cents, trading at $31.13, JCPenney off 32 cents at $3.60 per share. For local retail stocks of interest, Best Buy down 66 cents, trading at $74.64, Costco off 40 cents at $188.60, and Walmart down $1.24 at $87.83. Bond prices are lower this morning. The 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 2.83% and the 30-year bond 3.137. For commodities, gold is up $16 an ounce at $1,322. Silver positive 21 cents at $16.57 per ounce. And crude oil down 53 cents, trading at $60 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Hey, Susan. Good morning. Hey, did the announcement about the tariffs, has that got Wall Street kind of antsy?
That is getting people antsy because they think there's going to be some trade wars, speculation. But this morning on the news, many people think it's overblown because it's brought up for discussion. So the market doesn't like it. Investors are worried. China's going to retaliate.
Okay. All right.
So we will see.
We will
see. But it is buying opportunity. We'll be looking for opportunities.
Okay. Well, that's right, because this is a, that's the way to do it. Okay, thank you so much, Susan
thank
Eastman.
Thank you. Happy weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. First Vice President of the Wells Fargo Advisors, located at, of course, 2705 Park Marina Drive. Give them a call at 243-7561. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, your local bank who is expanded in their new branch down at 1845 California Street, expanded hours, more service to their customers, their local service, local bank. Go down there and experience how they are moving local dreams forward. Okay. Congressman Doug LaMalfa is on the phone. Good morning, Congressman LaMalfa, Carl Bott, and Trish Clark.
Hey, Carl. Hi, Trish.
Good morning, Congressman.
Okay. You know what? We're lined up here with questions. And you can probably imagine.
Lined up.
A lot of questions for other.
What?
All right.
Okay.
Fire away. Let's just jump right into it then.
Okay.
Let's start with the President Trump's comment on the Second Amendment about
due process.
In due process.
It was a silly comment. I think he's trying to walk it back. He tends to. When he gets in a room with people there, I think he's, you know, sometimes he had Feinstein next to him the other day, so I think, oh, maybe we should look at that, you know. But when he goes back to his base thought process on things, he usually comes home where he's supposed to be. So I think they've walked back some of that stuff, and always remember that whichever White House it is, it's got to get through the United States House of Representatives, the United States Senate, whatever the proposal is on any kind of gun legislation, or the focus it really should be is how do we make campuses safer and other places that are soft targets.
And harden our campuses, absolutely.
Which
the things that we care about in this country have armed people protecting them.
That's right.
Court buildings. It's harder to get into the Shasta County court building for me than it is to get through TSA. Do you know that? I spend more time taking stuff off and out of my pockets to go in there than TSA or the U.S. Capitol. But, you know.
God help you if you have a small pocket knife on you. Okay,
no,
that's
the thing. And, yeah, no. So like, let's talk about this zero tolerance stuff for a minute. Okay? You know, a kid comes to school with a nail file or fingernail clippers, and they call the cops. Yet they didn't call the cops in Florida, or you know, do the things that they should have done. You know what I'm saying? It's just completely disproportional. On one hand, you'll have this zero tolerance policy. On the other one, they're telling people to hang back. And you know, we see multiple examples of that. Somebody draws a. I just saw this story. You know, you see these anecdotes on the internet, and you don't know, but someone drew a picture in the classroom of the square root sign, and someone else thought it was a gun, and they called the police, came by to take a report. You know, the little
yeah.
square root sign? I
mean, right.
Come on. And, you know, and we have a shooting this morning at a university in Michigan now. Two dead. Not a lot of stories about it yet, but what is the common theme to all this is that we have soft targets that everybody wants to say, oh, we're politically correct, we're gun-free zones. And, of course, that makes an easy target for anybody with a screw loose.
That leads to my second question on this. What is Congress doing to enable our schools to be safer for our students?
Well, this didn't start with the Parkland conversation. It's been a constant conversation, and I've been probably quoted before about this when we need to have harder targets there. We need to have the ability for people on a campus or people staffed at a campus that can do this stuff, that can be the protectors. And, you know, quickly gets distorted in the media, like, oh, you want to make teachers have guns? Like, no, nobody wants to make anybody do anything, okay? If it's a particular school where you have the type of staff or the type of leadership or a school board that embraces it, then we can allow them to be armed in some fashion or another. Okay, they're going to wear it on their waist. I don't know, but it's a thing where let's give them the option. And just you know, remember, a couple of years ago that window was open in California.
Anderson High School District took advantage of it.
Two or three school districts in Shasta and Tehama County were among the handful around the state that were embracing that. then bam, the legislature passes a bill. There can be no guns held by teachers or personnel on campus. Like, well, okay, you've just taken an option away from people that are comfortable with the option, whether it's the teachers, other school personnel, the school board, or the parents of the community. That if they're uncomfortable with it, if they live in Marin County, no one's going to make them do it. All right. So,
Doug,
let's give people the options. Go ahead.
If the Congress could act and make this something that could be enacted by local school districts, take it out of the hands of the federal government and out of the hands of the states, and put it down to the individual school districts to make that decision, is that something Congress would embrace?
I think it already has embraced that. We are not at the federal level forcing people not to do this, but whatever it takes to give the green light to that at the federal level and stay out of the way of locals deciding that, it really is going to come down to the responsibility of a state or of a local entity. And since the state of California has already taken that off the table, then it'll be up to the people of California that unfortunately might become victims to say, why is our state legislature not allowing us to do this? Instead, all they do in Sacramento is pursue one gun ban after another. And guess what? People are going to stash their guns. They're going to keep their guns. There's no way they're turning them in to a person. Gun owners that will speak to me or communicate with me, they say, you know what, they can pass the laws they want down there, and at a point, they're not going to comply. And so whether they ship them out of state to a relative or whatever it is that they say they're going to do, they're not going to comply with what they feel in their gut is wrong on the Second Amendment. And that said, what keeps people from coming across the border from another state and doing the things they want to do anyway? And who's being held accountable for the Fast and Furious where we're exporting guns from the U.S. under the Obama and Eric Holder administration to other places and see them come back? I mean, it's all completely backwards, the thinking in this process. And the gun grabbers that have always been out there are using these situations to try and lurch forward on their agenda to disarm the innocent, the law-abiding American citizens.
Okay, we're here with Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and we're getting ready to take a quick break here. We've just talked about the Trump's announcement that Congressman says he thinks they're starting to walk it back when you start talking about due process for taking people's guns. And then
there's an interesting way to look at that, too, if on the due process. Of course, we all want due process. But what they're talking about is this kind of
an emergency.
Is an emergency ability to there's this four-letter acronym they have for it, but an emergency restraining order, okay, a gun restraining order, okay. So is there an immediate threat by somebody? Maybe so, but who's going to decide that? Does a judge know? Who's the one who's turning in the person that says, "Well, I think this person's a threat with a gun"? And so how arbitrary is that?
Well,
I understand the theoretical thought. If you know somebody that's an immediate threat with a gun, then maybe how do you figure out a mechanism to put that, to stop that? And if the guy is a threat and you go storming into his house with a SWAT team to disarm that perceived threat, then what does that guy do when he's got the SWAT team coming to the door? Do you have an automatic shootout because he's already on edge? So I'm not sure, Carl, where do you sort this out? Or who decides who's a threat or who's going to rat out his neighbor or family member that he's mad at just to, make their life hard and because you're having a spat.
Well, they have a new law. I don't know if you've seen this new proposed law that they've taken it just from a family member and a police officer, so it can be your coworker, a student. They've got like six different people that can report you and have your guns taken away.
And that's
in the state of California.
Yeah.
That's a new one that's proposed.
Again, what's it based on? And now, is that a First Amendment protection? Is it a Second Amendment? Is it a Fourth Amendment? What issues are we trampling there to do that? So there's just no easy answer as would like to be provided in a soundbite, on the
it's
on
not
the
there isn't
gun grab media, because for the same reasons we're talking about mental health, who's to declare somebody mentally incapable of having a gun? Just a year ago, under the last vestiges of the Obama administration, they were going to try and use Social Security Administration to take guns away from veterans because veterans that might have been a little older are seeking financial guidance and assistance from someone else. So they're declaring because their finances might be complicated that they can't be capable of owning a gun. That's the premise they're trying to use there for another gun grab. So and other, you know, ACLU fights against declaration of people being mentally incompetent that may need to be institutionalized because that's against their rights. So, you know, it's both sides of the mouth on the thing. How do you untangle all that to get a workable plan? And that's what we...
Yeah.
We need to come up with something where we can look at each one individually.
We need to take a quick break here. And we'll be right back with Congressman Lamont for this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We'll be right back after these messages with Congressman Lamont.
Reading Gun Show, this weekend only at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. Jam-packed with all your favorite firearms. Brands like Glock, Winchester, Remington, SIG, Smith & Wesson, Ruger, and much, much more. So remember, the Reading Gun Show, this weekend only at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. I'm here with Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Homes, and we're here at the Salt Creek Heights subdivision.
We're very fortunate to be involved with Powerhouse as they do such a great job on the installation. It's clean, it's simple, it's a no-brainer. The first 34 home buyers in Salt Creek subdivision comes with a solar setup already.
The thing that to me is exciting is that each home has the ability to turn their home into a zero-energy home. And they can be part of making this a zero-energy community. The system that we're installing, up to 10 panels, will eliminate all of the kilowatt-hour usage of that home. And if they add a pool, if they add an electric car in the future, then at that point they can add more solar to offset those loads as well.
We've already recognized quite a bit of savings by using SunPower and Powerhouse Solar.
If you'd like more information on Salt Creek Heights and how Powerhouse Solar can zero out your energy bill, call 275-5600 today.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Yeah, Trish traded out Thursday for Friday today because she wanted to be here with Congressman LaMalfa, who is our guest. Good morning, Congressman LaMalfa.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for joining us. You know, we really do appreciate you being on every month. And you know what? There's two more things I want to mention. One of them is somebody's already said it on the chat room. You made a comment on Facebook about Billy Graham or, you know, about being a great American and all this. I did not see the comment myself. But she then said that the amount of hatred that came out over that on the comments, she said was astounding.
Amazing,
astounding.
That's on the official Facebook page there. I did it on my own, too. But
well, what was the hatred?
I mean, that was a moment
about?
There to just talk about something really important with people's faith and salvation, and what an amazing man this was. And people start talking about, oh yeah, you got your fake gods and all this and all that. Like, hey, you know what? That's their decision. I feel bad for them, but you know, I mean, it was just a moment to acknowledge a great American and a person who's about as selfless as they come in advancing people's eternal salvation. And that's one of the most important things. Well, it is the most important decision anybody could make if they're a believer. If they're a non-believer, then, you know, or they don't want to be one, then, you know, God help them, literally.
So. Yeah.
Well, that's it. And Congressman, we are a Christian country. This country was founded on Christian principles. That's why they came over here to begin with.
I don't know if it's proper to say it's a Christian country, but
I did say,
yeah, you would say the founders, the vast majority of them, were themselves or embrace those principles.
What is it's
never
a Christian Judeo?
Christian Judeo country, and that's the principles
the values,
we were founded
values
on.
Values were, yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Were.
How it's gone from there is as it is, but it's still that's the founding.
I just wanted to make that comment because I had not seen it, but I've had comments here on our chat room that said that it was just, you know, the amount of hatred that came out.
Yeah, that's on the Rep. Doug LaMalfa Facebook page. I also did stuff on my own, but that one's
different.
That was my own page that I think you're on there.
Uh-huh.
I think both of you are, but I choose my friends on that one, and because it's, you know, it's my own. But the other one is public, and they can tee off as they wish. And I think it just shows everybody else what we're dealing with.
Right.
Or on the politics side, you know, when the crazies get on there with their stuff, you know. I don't know. I guess that's the public forum, right? It's kind of looks like town hall meetings look like sometimes.
Congressman,
the unbridled anger that comes out since this president was elected, and they've determined that their whole life, the next 4 years, is going to be the resist movement.
Next 8 years.
Hey, Congressman, the president just announced a 25%. He wants to do a 25%. Increase on the tariff for steel, and I think it was 10% on aluminum. Wall Street immediately dropped 400 points and has been, you know, kind of in a downturn since then. What's your thoughts on this one?
Well, you know, I don't toe the straight line of free market or, you know, open trader thing like, you know, someone might say is typical. I believe that we also have to look at what's good for America, or for American jobs. And China's coming in and undercutting us on steel for years, many years. We have this, you know, Oakland Bay Bridge, which is made mostly out of crappy Chinese steel and bolts and stuff like that. Why do we keep putting up with that? So I don't have a problem with looking at this concept here, and Trump is there to shake things up on that. So I'm willing to give it a go and see what, you know, the stock market, you know, the corporate world is walks on eggshells all the time anyway. You know, they like it when things are going their way, but by golly, let somebody, you know, say something about the NRA. You see all the corporate people running for the hills to get away from their NRA incentives that some of the airlines and others are doing like that. You know, what a bunch of weasels. And so if they don't like the idea of the tariff, then we'll see where the ball bounces on that. But I would like to see more quality American steel be able to be more competitive, not because we're going to prop up the steel industry here, but because we're not having cheap, undercut price stuff coming in this country that's low quality and manipulable by their government. Their government isn't there to help us prosper here. They're trying to corner a market and pay their people nothing, and they don't have nearly the restrictions by having to do things properly by labor or environmental restrictions. I think we have too much here, I think, but the happy medium would be some level of that to make sure people are doing things correctly and in a as good stewards. But, you know, Americans have had a hard time competing with that.
Well, Doug, let me just say that I think we all agree that the quality of the product that we get from China is inferior. Every piece, when you're buying nuts and bolts and whatever you're getting that comes from overseas, they're inferior to what you had when America was making them.
Right. We have two sets of tools around the shop. The good ones we keep inside to work on our repairs of tractors and harvesters, pickups, whatever. The ones you use every day, and then you have the ones that go in the box that go out in the pickup to the field that the guys lose half the time. That are the cheap stuff, and
that's,
you know,
right.
nobody wants to use those cheap ones. They round off the, more likely to round off the head of the nut or the bolts, or, you know, this, you know, a guy that likes his tools likes how they feel in his hand, even, you know,
mm-hmm.
a nice tool versus some, you know, anyway, yeah.
No, so the point is, though, that I kind of like the idea of a tariff. We pay tariff on when we send things overseas. A lot of that stuff that's coming into the United States without a tariff, why not have a tariff on both ends?
Trish, why is it always a one-way street on trade?
That's exactly right.
Why is it our country that absorbs that, and we have, you know, trade deficits of hundreds of billions of dollars? And I've always thought, why don't we just take a mirror to each country and say, here is our trade policy with you.
Exactly.
What you see in the mirror right there, that's ours.
And I concur, and I'm delighted myself, and I've noticed the stock market, a lot of people are complaining about that tariff idea. I think it's certainly worth taking a look at, and, you know, he ran on that, and I'm delighted to see him get throwing it out there and have a discussion about it.
One of the comments we had from one of our chat room is some of the top investors of the world are saying there will not be a trade war, just more dramatic reaction from sensationalized media and commenters that know little.
Yeah. Look at what this administration in place, other countries are sitting up and taking notice. When he had that little a stop with a bunch of the international leaders, he was over in Europe somewhere, and they all came to him, yes, sir, we want to do business with you.
That's right.
And when he was walking back or you know, taking back some of the, no, they all of a sudden, they knew they couldn't walk on us anymore, and that the game is different. Even when he talked about NATO, say, you know what, NATO needs to start participating in a little higher level of protecting themselves, and you know, the message went out from the media, oh my gosh, he's trying to blow up our NATO agreement, like, no. And then they all whined about it, but then they started realizing, look, man, we've been getting away with
it. And they're doing it. And they're stepping up
and they're moving towards it, yeah.
That's exactly right.
Trump, I mean, he's doing the stuff that normal people talk about at their dining room table. Let them pay for their stuff. Let them have a you know, all this. So I think he's more in touch with these issues than anybody has been in a long time in that White House.
I think it's uncomfortable. I very seldom disagree with the things he says, because I kind of see where he's, okay, he's getting them off this subject and onto another one and guiding the discussion where he wants. I think he has to be really careful about his gun control comments, because I think that's a real big button that can push people in the United States, and he gets sideways on his gun control issues, I think he will lose a lot of his base.
Well, in my job, you have to kind of roll with the punches. And the first thing is, you know, when you propose a bill, people call up, oh my gosh, that bill's going to do this, even the tax reform bill,
yes,
which is turning out to be pretty great for the vast majority of Americans and for business, right?
And so, hopefully pretty bad for the Democrats
who didn't vote for it. It's all like, oh, that thing's going to hurt this, it's going to hurt that, you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't do that. Like, people, this is a long game here, okay? The bill that we have today is not the final bill. And so what the president is talking about is not the final policy. If it's going to require legislation, which usually it does, it's going to go through our House and Senate committee process. It's going to be fully vetted. And even then, you know, he said something offhand. Yeah, maybe he shouldn't do that as much, but... But you have defeatists out there saying, oh, look, he's selling out on us. I know we have people that are, you know, they are just poised waiting for their conservatives or their Republicans or whatever to the slightest thing, you know, and even in my travels, if the slightest thing I might say or do, like, oh, Doug, you're going to sell out on us. You're going to go the other way. Like, you know what? Just relax. I'm still the same guy that, you know, parked my harvester in 2001 and started to run for office. It has the same values, you know, a little more educated on the horizons of what it takes to be in office and governing and stuff. But I haven't changed my values on any of this stuff. And so just just relax and let us do our job. You know, I mean, have input, but, you know, if you're worried about the president saying, yeah, I was not happy with that comment either. But we need to have due process, and like we were talking about before the break, that we have to slice and dice as to where that comes into place. If there's an immediate threat, how do you determine if a confiscation or temporary confiscation is proper, you know, for a person that has been turned in as like, oh, this, we think he's a danger to himself and to others. Well, all right, but who's saying it and under what circumstance? And even then, when the system had 39 chances with this kid in Florida and didn't do it, how many laws can you pass and put in place if the people that uphold the law don't do their jobs? If the Department of Justice, you know, you have a person who's not supposed to be buying a gun and say goes to try and buy one at retail level, and the flag goes up from the background check thing, then and DOJ doesn't investigate 9 out of 10 of those types of cases to follow up. Why are you trying to buy a gun? That's probably a violation of parole or an immediate, you know, charges to be brought. They don't do that. So how many laws do we need that already DOJ isn't doing? Why is our state legislature taking away the enhancement for using a gun in a crime? They just passed that bill recently. They're taking away the enhancements of extra penalty for using a gun in a crime. Well, that's psychotic. That's bipolar or something. They're taking away the penalties for using a gun, yet they hate guns. It all just comes back to a gun-grabbing agenda for them, not about the crime. They don't even want criminals to stay in prison. Ask Tom Basenko about that.
Okay, I want to jump subjects now and switch over to another thing. In order for President Trump to get his agenda through, we need more congressmen and more senators, Republican. What kind of a message do we need to send out there about getting people out for this midterm election to give him the power that he needs in both those houses to move his agenda forward, number one? And then how do we get the Republicans that we've elected to do what they said they were going to do when we elected them?
Most of us are trying to. There's a few in the Senate that are a little flaky sometimes. I would name Flake as one of them. And McCain, you know.
Yeah, we know who they are.
Yeah, and a couple others that think it's cool to come out and oppose the president publicly. Well, I'm not saying you have to carte blanche always support the president or any person, but do your intra-party arguing behind closed doors, not on the front page. And the president needs to do that himself. He shouldn't be throwing his attorney general under the bus in tweets or things like that. Do it behind closed doors when they're your team members, all right? That doesn't work in sports, and certainly doesn't work in this high, you know, high value area of politics. So decide it amongst your own instead of running for a camera. So it confuses the message, and it confuses the voters, and it confuses our base when you have this going on. So that's one thing we just as Republicans can do. The Dems are pretty smart at it. They don't seem to do a whole lot of that. Sometimes they blow themselves up at their
They vote as a pack. They have their,
They threw Dianne Feinstein under the bus, so, you know.
Couldn't happen to a nicer person.
By the way,
opponent is worse, okay? Yeah. Remember that. Kevin DeLeon is much worse.
We're
talking degrees here. Dianne will at least work with us to a level on forestry, on water storage, on infrastructure, okay? I'll take those things. But, yeah, that's not an endorsement per se, but, you know.
On my Facebook announcement, I had a photo of you and Dianne Feinstein right next to each other, saying that you were going to be on because President Trump was saying, Dianne, yeah, Dianne, put a couple pages in that gun control thing. I'm like, whoa. So it's probably the only time that you've had your picture next to Dianne's in a long time.
Yeah, I had my picture next to Dianne's.
Very often. We haven't met before to talk about water and forestry and things like that. So, you know, hey.
Yeah. Years ago, Doug, I had my picture on the front page of the Record Searchlight with Dianne Feinstein. And she came out here on a housing thing, a mental health housing project. Man, I had to explain that for the longest time.
Hey, Congressman,
you work with the people that you have
that are elected. That's right.
to work with. Yes,
that's exactly right.
It's a really steep slope between her and Barbara Boxer before and Kamala Harris now. I mean, I'll just stop there. But geez, yeah, so at least we can have a conversation and find some things to get done until the voters replace with somebody who thinks a lot more like we do and you all's advertisers there.
Hey, Congressman, what do you think is in the next 6 months that you all want to accomplish in the House of Representatives and push over to the Senate?
Well, there's reforms we continue to still want to do with, there's going to need some, we got to do a couple tweaks on the tax, on the tax legislation, but we also have to look at the areas of what the so-called entitlements. So that's almost 70% of our national budget issue there. And when you're looking at bankruptcy and some serious issues with them and the spiraling costs, that's an area we have to be bold enough to talk about and not spook everybody and let the left lie about it. That's very important. Infrastructure is a key topic we're trying to advance the conversation in 2018. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be a tough one because obviously that stuff isn't cheap, and the method that you pay for it is, obviously the key element to buying anything. So the president's advancing a plan which is going to have a greater local input on it, but it isn't all just handing out federal dollars. So
partnership.
It's a lower percentage than what it has been in the past, and it really people decide, do they really want this thing or not? Or, because there's a lot of things to get done to pull down federal money. We've got to get those federal dollars. People put dumb things in like roundabouts and all that because they can get a special grant for that and then spend $4 million on a roundabout that takes up 5 acres in the middle of town. That's my own personal beef there, but that's just the whole idea. Well, we can get a grant. Well,
yeah.
Grants are real money.
So yeah, they are, and they come out of the same back pocket that the state and local dollars come out of. Are we going to continue to talk about the immigration issue? Are we going to just?
That's right in the middle of it too, and I'm going to make sure this doesn't become a rollover for DACA or whatever. We need we need an immigration policy that allows a good pool of guest workers, but the paramount thing is a border that is not porous. So we know who's coming in and coming out or going out, and we have people that we do allow in. They have the right documents and are legitimately staying the amount of time that we prescribe. We have that right and duty as a country. It's not racist. It's not hateful. Any other nonsense they're trying to say out there. It's our duty. It's our country. And so for the we'll be out protesting, saying, well, DACA people out protesting about
burning our American flag while they're doing it?
Yeah, and then and this terminology, dreamers, that's offensive to me, and I think most people. Carl and Chris, I'm going to have to bail here because I've got to go into a thing at a school here. So
okay,
anyway.
No problem. Thanks
so much.
Thanks for being with us, Congressman.
Okay, thanks a lot. You have a great weekend.
All right, take care. I was wondering where he was at, because usually, he must be down at one of the schools around here doing something, because usually he's in a car someplace. Where
I think he was going there and got there and now has to go into the school.
Yeah, before the school starts. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey,
hopefully through a security gate.
I'm glad now I skipped that the break at the half-hour break, because I wanted to get those last ones. And what are they working on? And, the thing about immigration, this thing is so important. I've got to get somebody that's really pro DACA, anti wall in here, because I really want to hear why, what the explanation is here, because they're Americans, they're citizens, but why are you against the wall or hardening our border or having illegals leave this country? Because frankly, if I just talk to you, we come from that same kind
bin,
of that
yeah.
same bin. So we need to have people in here, and I'm really going to be, and this is for all of our listeners here. We're going to be expanding, as you know, up in the FM spectrum and all this. But I also want to start expanding. I'm not saying changing our our viewpoints at all, because that's not going to happen. Times change. Your views and your morality doesn't change.
Well, I think your principles, your core principles don't ever change.
And it's kind of like, you know, and kind of what LaMoffitt was saying. I parked my Harvester in 2001, but my principles don't change. But people will, you know, they think that they will. So I want to hear because you can't learn, you can't expand your horizons by being in that same enclave all the time.
No, but Carl, you already have, and I will give the station credit because you always give the other side.
We try to.
Have sat through some interviews here where I've had to kind of tape my mouth shut when we've had other people that who have the diverse view. Well, but I think that's important.
We need that's our community, and we need to
and
hear
we need
that.
Both sides of that argument.
I need a dreamer. I need a well, you know what? You know, frankly, and this might get people a little weird, but if a child is brought here when he's 1 year old, and he's been raised, or she have been raised in this country their whole lives, I don't understand why they should be in danger of being kicked out.
I don't either. But why haven't they, if they're now in their 20s and 30s, why aren't they seeking citizenship?
Well, they
why
should
are they
because,
burning the American
because,
flag out there saying
well,
I ought to
they,
be able to
they,
stay
all,
here forever?
But all of them aren't. All of them, you know, it's like the gun control people. They will point at certain things and say, "Oh, look, these people are out killing each other, and you know they're danger." They're using this like this Florida thing or this Las Vegas thing. That doesn't represent gun owners. And so I'm thinking there's a lot of dreamers out there, and that were brought here as you know as children, and they have lived their lives as Americans, as citizens. They're good citizens. They have to have a way of becoming citizens without worrying about being kicked out of this country.
But we need to hear from them. They need to come forward and give their side of it.
Yes.
That this is what the situation I'm in, and maybe tell us how they can't get a path to citizenship because they can't go through the process. Maybe they're trying to go through the process, and it's not working.
Well,
I'd love to hear from people like that.
Well, that's where I'm going to go. I'm heading out to Shasta College in Simpson and a few others. We're going to take a break here and try and catch up on some of the stuff. But here's the thing is this. Now, I'm not talking about the ones that have come here when they were 2, 3, 4, and now they're gang members or they've been breaking the law. No, out you go. So then, but there's got to be something we can do for the ones that – they're as American as you and I.
Yeah.
You know what? And
I don't
now
disagree.
They can't even join the military because they're not citizens.
But they can vote in Pennsylvania, over 100,000 of them.
Yeah, well, that's what I heard. So, but see, there's got to be a way of doing this. And it's got to be so it's inclusive that the people of America kind of agree on it and say, you know what? Yeah. You know, this is the right thing to do.
It's a big discussion.
Other people,
that's right.
No mercy. Okay. Hey, look, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. Jim, hang on till we come back. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, the only place to get a haircut. Somebody said, you know what, if you say things like that, you're not going to get another barbershop to advertise with you. And I went, okay, I can live with that. Cypress Square Barbershop, you know, discounts for seniors and veterans, better known, man's last stronghold. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
Reading Gun Show this weekend only at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, jam-packed with all your favorite firearms. Brands like Glock, Winchester, Remington, SIG, Smith & Wesson, Ruger, and much, much more. So remember, the Reading Gun Show this weekend only at the Holiday Inn Convention Center.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community.
It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
A long, long time ago.
Don McLean is one of America's most enduring singer-songwriters, forever associated with American Pie. And he's coming to the Cascade Theater Saturday, March 10th at 7:30. It's a rare opportunity to hear Songwriters Hall of Famer Don McLean live March 10th at the Cascade Theater. Get tickets today at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I promised my audience.
Oh, I heard that yesterday. You were never singing anymore.
Never sing again. I'm sorry.
Not happening.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at North State Security. You know what? They've been an ounce of. Let's go back. North State Security been an ounce of prevention since 1968. It's their 50th year. You know what I'm telling people is, when I find out that we don't have guards at schools, I said, why don't you just go to North State Security and tell them that, you know, you want to hire their guards, their armed guards, to come out to these schools. If you can't get a sheriff's deputy or a policeman, why can't you get, you know what? You're looking for a presence out there. And how about a uniformed guard? Isn't that a presence? That, to me, means it. North State Security, 243-0295. You know what? They are an ounce of prevention. They are there to help you. Okay, let's go to the phones. Jim, good morning.
Morning.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, I've talked to a number of those people that are dreamers, that are really good workers and really super people, and they're good. But the reason why they don't want to fill out the paperwork and become U.S. citizens because they don't want to give up their parents and have them deported.
Oh, well, that's true, because because then you get into this thing called the chain immigration thing, where if it's your parents, then they can be brought in, and then relatives and all that, which is one of the things that's a problem. But so they're afraid that their parents then would be, if I fill out the paperwork, now they're going to come into my parents after my parents. That's interesting, because that is because the parents came in illegally, and they're still here.
Right, they're here, yeah. And they're hiding out. And a lot of them parents are very good people, and they're not doing anything wrong. But they don't want to get found out. And so ones that don't do anything wrong are the first ones that ISIS is going to take and deport. They don't deport the criminals. That's what they ought to do, the criminals first. They ought to go into all the prisons and deport all the criminals and start working their way down, you know, that way.
I would put down that going after people that have not been a threat to this country or a threat to their neighbors should be at the very bottom of the list.
And, you know, and I think there is a way if we could get some rational thought process going. I don't think anybody in the United States wants to throw out people that are not causing us a problem. There are plenty of lawbreakers beyond the fact that they are illegal. The word illegal means that they already broke the law coming in here. But if they haven't committed crimes on our soil, then maybe those people can just ignore them for a while and, as you indicate, go after the ones that are lawbreakers. They're easy to spot.
There's enough of them.
There's plenty of them to throw all of them out.
And if we as a nation can't figure out how to take law-abiding citizens, you know, you can call them dreamers, but law-abiding citizens who have been here, and find a way for them to earn their way in to be a citizen of our country, and I mean that, earn a way. And, you know, if it takes 4, 5, 6 years, fine, that's fine. I think a dreamer should be put on more, you know, with, you know, that's been here, brought here under the age of 5. That's what I'm going, under the age of 5. Even under the age of 10, but not into their teens or anything. But but that's just me being capricious.
But the immigration system as a whole needs to is broken terribly, because I've gone through the process with people who have come from other countries who have a difficult time going through the process to become a citizen of the United States. It sometimes takes years, and it shouldn't, when you come through the proper channels. But even those people entering this country legally have a difficult time, in a lot of instances, becoming a citizen. That whole thing needs to be streamlined. If we picked them and then we let them come in, figure out a way to get it done in less than 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. Okay, Joe. Thanks a lot.
You know,
that makes sense.
On a child that's brought in by their parents, they have no say-so about what they're doing. They got to go where the parents take
them. And that's true. You know, you're absolutely right about that. You know, so, there, you know, our...
But just because they bring children, should we let the other people go? I mean, just because they brought in children,
well,
is that their card to stay because they brought in their minor kids?
Here's what I'm saying. You've got to look at each one of them as an individual and say this. If they have not been a problem in this country, then you let them earn their way in to be a citizen. If you don't do that, then, yeah, then you deport them. Sorry. But they did not want to be citizens. They did not want to take the time. They did not want to make the effort to become a citizen in our country. Well, I'm sorry. Then they're gone. But you got to give them a chance.
So the first thing we do is seal the border so they stop
first
coming
thing
across.
You do is seal the border.
And then we deal with the people that are already here.
Well, the ones that I know that have lived here and they're really good, the only thing, the fear they have is the fact that if they fill the paperwork out, they'll give the parents up and the parents will be deported. That's the only thing I know that I talked to them.
Yeah. That's good information. I think that... It certainly is something we've got to deal with as a country. I don't know whether the state of California can be a part of that process, because we seem to be all wound up in not doing anything except letting them stay and make enough pay for them.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for calling,
Jim.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, Trish,
yes.
I think it takes Gorilla Tape to keep your mouth shut.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah,
bye.
I'm not sure that would work. But you know what? The first thing anybody has to do is save our borders, fix that. Then let's go back in there. Now, Trump offered 1.8 million. I'm not sure what that is. Everybody was talking about, 800,000 dreamers. I can't help but think it's more than that. So, but he offered up 1.8 million for a pathway to citizenship here in the United States.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where he got that number from, but that should have been, I would have thought it made the Democrats happy. But it didn't. They were still angry about it.
Well, they were angry about that part because it was the other stuff that it was the other stuff that he threw in and said, okay, I'll give you all the dreamers and all of that. But then I also want to address the other areas of our immigration system, and they don't want to do that because they want to be able to bring in all the refugees and they want to be able to bring in anybody they want to bring in, and I think that he has some good ideas about our immigration system needs some attention. We had a good system at one point where people came into this country legally. We've gone beyond that, and I think we need to get back to handling our immigration like other countries do. We have a right to pick and choose who comes into our country and becomes a citizen. You can't just go to any other country and go in and become a citizen without going through the process.
Well, you know, and again, we go back to talking about controlling our borders. If you can't control our borders, then there is no nation anymore. But and I don't understand where the problem is for people to say, oh, no, we should let people in. You just, you know, willy-nilly. But and then they ask this one guy, one of these guys that's really outspoken on this, on the immigration issue, Hispanic guy, who is both he's got an American and he's got a dual citizenship. And he says, no, I believe there should be borders. But I also believe that people that are coming here to seek a better life should be able to come through and be able to do that. But there's got to be rules. There's got to be rules there, though. Yeah, there's got to be vetted there.
Yeah.
And if you're bringing in people, and people hated that comment about what Trump said about, you know, blank hole countries. But guess what? There are countries out there that just letting them in because they're humans is not a good enough reason. I mean, I don't want to make that sound bad, but you just don't let somebody in because they want to come in.
In a lot of instances,
because
those
people can't do that.
Those people would be better served if we would spend the money that we spend on them in this country by setting up safe places for them nearer the areas that are in trouble, where they can stay there until the trouble is over and then go back into their own countries. That's what they know. That's where they've lived. I wouldn't mind American dollars being spent on keeping those people safe during the turmoil in their country and then put them back into their own countries. They're not going to come over here and assimilate into our country. They're going to come here and they're going to want to live exactly like they lived in their other countries. And that's what causes the problems in the United States.
Great.
Our immigrants used to assimilate and become Americans. These people, a lot of them do not want to. Those that do not want to be Americans need to go home.
I'm all for that. Assimilate. Become an American.
Become an American.
You know what? We're built on that.
Don't burn my flag and then demand that I take care of you. I can't get behind that.
Hey, by the way, we are looking for producers. If you know of anybody that would like to be a producer here at KCNR 1460, we're looking for some really bright young talent that can come in and run these shows, run these boards, and maybe grow into their own show. So give us a call at 605-4565. Everybody have a great weekend. There's so much stuff going on. Remember, you got the outdoor show. You've got the gun show. You've got the Redding Rancheria, where they are giving away another $10,000 after they've already given away, you know, $3 million here in the last few years for good causes. And
the breakfast at the Frontier Senior Center.
Breakfast at the Frontier
City
Senior
of Anderson.
Center. That's right. All of this. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you? Around, and I'll
keep this world. The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
From Graham's younger sister.